We read this morning our gospel passage from Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. In this passage, we find a well-known parable of the Good Samaritan, which Jesus used to illustrate his answers to a lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" Let us listen together for God's word. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on him. Then he put on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. Let's be together in prayer. Loving God, we've heard your word this morning. We ask that you help us to break it open, that we might see and hear and understand, that we might be transformed. Make it your word, God, and not ours. Amen. Now, I've been married for 14 years, but I can still remember what it was like to plan my wedding, all the complexities and the joys and the challenges. Now, you may have had the same experience, but what was the most difficult part of planning my wedding, except for, and this is sort of a parenthetical note, my repeated failure to understand that there are more whites than just the color white. But there is off-white and ivory and ecru and eggshell and blizzard white. Still learning. But besides that, the most difficult part of planning my wedding was setting the guest list. Anybody have that same experience? I mean, it's really difficult to sit down with pen and paper and to make those tough decisions about who's in and who's out. I mean, does Cousin Charlie get to deserve the $17 caterer's fee, but second cousin Rhonda, well, she doesn't quite rate. What about the co-workers at the office? There's a few that you're friends with, but you don't want to alienate people, so do you invite everybody? And if you do, is your new father-in-law going to be upset at you that there's this extra expense added to the open bar tab? And what about, those Texas Golden voters? We're kind of alienated from them. And they didn't invite us to Cousin Ricky's last summer anyway, so should I invite them too? There's lots of practical concerns when you're choosing who gets in and who gets out. There's financial concerns, there's physical space constraints, there's family tensions, there's feelings and emotions, there's all sorts of reasons that setting a guest list can be really difficult. Well, what made it particularly difficult for me, I remember, is that I didn't want to limit it to anybody. I mean, I didn't want just 150 or 300 or 500 or 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 or 1,000,000. I wanted the whole world to be witness to the love that I shared with this amazing woman. Dear. I wanted it broadcast on the television. I wanted it broadcast on the radio. I wanted everybody to know. And despite all of those practical concerns, I wanted my love on that day to reach as far as possibly could and to reach as many people as it possibly could. I didn't want to have to limit it. I wanted everyone to to see that love. Well, when the topic turns to love's reach, you know, the gospel has some things to say about that. And no more clearly, perhaps, than in our passage this morning, which has the sequence of really two parts, where it's this conversation that Jesus has with the lawyer, and then it moves into this parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, it starts out when Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, which will eventually lead to his crucifixion and death and resurrection. And he's approached by this religious scholar, teacher of law. And he goes up to Jesus and he says, "Teacher." You know, maybe he's trying to goad Jesus on here. Maybe he really wants some information. Maybe he's trying to develop a relationship here. Not sure. But he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus, answering a question with a question, says, "Well, what does it say in the law? What do you read there?" Now, this is a religious scholar. This is a layup for him. He knows what the law says. And so he quotes Deuteronomy 6, which says you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then he quotes Leviticus 19, which says you're to love your neighbor as yourself. You're to love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, that's right. That's right. You've got it right. If you want eternal life, go love God and go love your neighbor. Simple. Well, the lawyer still has some questions. He doesn't quite understand. Understanding loving God is fine, but loving neighbor. Who exactly is my neighbor? Or, to put it another way, who am I going to let my love reach? Am I going to let my love reach Jews who look like me and think like me and who live near me? Are they my neighbors? But what about the other Jews who think a little differently and look a little differently and live a little further away? Are they my neighbors too? And if we're expanding things, maybe my neighbor is not only other Jews, but also Gentiles, the rest of the world too. Could it be that my love extends even to them? He wants to know. Jesus, who should I let my love reach? Well, not one to give straightforward answers all the time, Jesus answers the religious scholar's question with the parable of the Good Samaritan, probably the most well-known parable in all of Scripture. Now, you remember we just read it, but there's a man who is walking on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, which was a well-known place to get robbed back in those days. And he does. He gets robbed and beaten and left for dead on the side of the road. Well, while he's sitting there, a clergy person, temple clergy, walks by, sees the man there, not sure what that's all about. Maybe it's a trap. Maybe he's spiritually and ritually unclean, so I'm going to step to the side of the road and walk around him. And so he does, and leaves him for dead. Well, then the next person that comes by is a Levite, which is another way of saying, you know, a churchy sort of person. Maybe a deacon, maybe a trustee member, maybe a member of the board of worship and music. And he sees them, not sure what's going on, and he too steps to the side of the road and keeps on walking by. Well, that's when the third person comes by, who is a Samaritan, which is to say a person from Samaria. Now, there's a lot of history here between the Samaritans and the Judeans. They don't like each other at all. In fact, the Israelite Jews think that the Samaritans are a half-breed, that they have bastardized the religion, and they are, you know, anathema, marginalized, other. Today, the word Samaritan would be like us saying a member of Al-Qaeda. It would be like saying an undocumented immigrant on the Arizona border. It would be like saying a hated enemy. And Jesus knows this. This is charged. When he sends the Samaritan to come in and to bend down and to pour wine and oil over the man's wounds and to bandage him up and to put him on his own donkey and bring him to the inn and to pay the inn tab, Jesus knows that that is in direct tension with the religious scholar's understanding of what it meant to be a good person and a good Jew. You see, it was the religious people who failed and the Samaritan, the terrorists, who had done the right thing. So Jesus asks the religious scholar. He says, which one of these was the neighbor to the beaten man? And the man, the religious scholar, can't even say the word Samaritan. He doesn't say the Samaritan, he says the one who showed mercy. Can't even get the words out. And Jesus says, yeah, you've got it. Go and do likewise. You see, love everybody. Let your love reach everybody, regardless of creed, regardless of country, regardless of who you are or where you come from. I want you to love radically and to love everybody, not just in your head. Go and do likewise, Jesus says. It holds up for us a vision of God's radical love. God showed us, and that we're to show one another. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. We love the idea, don't we, of loving everybody. But you know as well as I do that when you get up from your pews and you walk out those front doors, that loving everybody is messy. And it's ugly sometimes. And we don't want to love everybody, and we can't always love everybody. You know, maybe somebody in your life, maybe it's a family member, right, who wronged you or did something or didn't do something that they were supposed to do and it hurt you and you're having a really hard time loving them. You might not even like them. There may be some here who have a business partner that stole from them or undermined the company or stabbed them in the back and you're having a really hard time loving that person. You may sit down and watch the evening news and you see terrorists, many Muslims perhaps. You see people streaming over the borders on the south, and they seem like a threat, and you're afraid, and you're having a really hard time loving those people. You know, it's hard to love people. It's hard to do what Jesus is asking us to do here. It is a hard teaching. Go and do likewise, Jesus tells us, but how do we do that? It's hard to love everyone. Wrestling with this week, I'm indebted to Anne and the youth group as we went to the Bowery Mission this past April. And every day, the cafeteria that we ate in and worked in, there was this sign that I sat across from almost every day. And it was a quote from Mother Teresa. And it said simply, you may remember this, it said simply, if you can't feed 100, feed one. It said, if you can't feed 100 people, feed one person. And I thought about that. And I said, you know, maybe it's not just about feeding that Mother Teresa was talking about. Maybe sometimes you've got to walk before you can run. Maybe if you can't love everybody, maybe what you've got to do is love one person. You know, if you can't live into God's vision of your love reaching outward to everybody, even the people that are hard to love or that threaten you. Maybe if you can't do that, maybe you can love just one. And maybe you can love one tomorrow that you are unable to love today. If you can't love everybody, maybe love one. Let's cling to that. Let's cling to that even as we wrestle with Jesus' vision for this radical, universal love that we're supposed to live out and is so hard. Cling to that. If you can't love everybody, just love one more tomorrow than you did today. So this is how my wedding invitations went. We took a subway to Cambridge from Boston. And we found this little boutique that sold all this wonderful handmade paper. And we bought this beautiful green Unreu paper. You impressed? I remember. And they didn't have enough, of course. We had a special order some. But we finally got it all together and we sat down and we folded 150 handmade origami invitations. It was a lot of work and it was a lot of fun. And we sent out those 150 and we heard back from 110 people. And so we had about 110 people at our wedding. It was a cool day. It was fun. We laughed and we sang, and so many people were able to witness our love. And even though it wasn't the million I wanted, there were 110 people that witnessed our love that day. It was great. As I think back to my wedding, there's been a lot of days since my wedding day. And though our love wasn't able to reach the whole world on that day, you see, every day since then, we've had a chance to touch people with our love. As our family grows, as our ministries grow, as we try to live into the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I'm not perfect, and we're not perfect, just like you. We screw up all the time. But the vision is there, and we try our best to love somebody tomorrow that we couldn't love today. Thanks be to God for so many days for our love to reach outward into the world. And so for you, the invitation is there for you to live into God's radical love, because God loved you first, and God loves everybody, and made it so that we can do the same. So maybe we can't run, but maybe we can walk and take a few steps and love that family member, love that business partner, love that Al-Qaeda member and that immigrant on the border tomorrow. We were unable to love today. And people said, amen.